Chapter 45. We avail ourselves of this occasion to tender to him, in the most earnest and public manner, the thanks of the department and our own. To the soldiers under his command we are grateful, as to brave men who perilled all to save the city from a reign of terror. To Captains Putnam, Franklin, and Shelley, Lieutenant Dreyer, and Lieutenant Colonel Behrens, officers of corps under the command of Brigadier General Brown, we are especially indebted, and we only discharge a duty when we commend them to their superiors in rank, and to the War Department for their courageous and effective service. Of the inspectors, captains, and sergeants of police who led parties in the fearful contest, we are proud to say that none faltered or failed. Each was equal to the hour and the emergency. Not one failed to overcome the danger, however imminent, or to defeat the enemy, however numerous. A special commendation is due to Drill Sergeant Copeland for his most valuable aid in commanding the movements of larger detachments of the police. The patrolmen who were on duty fought through the numerous and fierce conflicts with the steady courage of veteran soldiers, and have won, as they deserve, the highest commendations from the public and from this board. In their ranks there was neither faltering nor straggling. Devotion to duty and courage in the performance of it were universal. The public and the department owe a debt of gratitude to the citizens who voluntarily became special patrolmen, some 3,000 of whom, for several days and nights, did regular patrolman's duty with great effect. In the name of the public, and of the department in which they were volunteers, we thank them. Mr. Crowley, the superintendent of the police telegraph, and the attaches of his department, by untiring and sleepless vigilance in transmitting information by telegraph unceasingly through more than 10 days and nights, have more than sustained the high reputation they have always possessed. Through all these bloody contests, through all the wearing fatigue and wasting labor, you have demeaned yourselves like worthy members of the Metropolitan Police. The public judgment will commend and reward you. A kind providence has permitted you to escape with less casualties than could have been expected. You have lost one comrade, whom you have buried with honor. Your wounded will, it is hoped, all recover, to join you and share honor. It is hoped that the severe but just chastisement which has been inflicted upon those guilty of riot, pillage, arson, and murder will deter further attempts of that character. But if, arising out of political or other causes, there should be another attempt to interrupt public order, we shall call on you again to crush its authors, confident that you will respond like brave men, as you ever have, to the calls of duty, and in future, whenever the attempt may be made, you will have to aid you large forces of military, ably commanded, and thus be enabled to crush in the bud any attempt at riot or revolution. To General Canby, who, on the morning of Friday, the 17th inst., took command of the military, relieving Brigadier General Brown, and to Gen. Dix, who succeeded General Wool, the public are indebted for prompt, vigorous, and willing aid to the police force in all the expeditions which have been called for, since they assumed their commands. Charged particularly with the protection of the immense amount of federal property and interests in the metropolitan district, and the police force charged with the maintenance of public order, the duties of the two forces are always coincident. Whatever menaces or disturbs one equally menaces and disturbs the other. We are happy to know that at all times the several authorities have cooperated with that concert and harmony which is necessary to secure vigor and efficiency in action. Sergeant Young, of the detective force, aided by Mr. Newcomb and other special patrolmen, rendered most effective service in arranging the commissary supplies for the large number of police, military, special patrolmen, and destitute colored refugees, whose subsistence was thrown unexpectedly on the department. The duty was arduous and responsible, and was performed with vigor and fidelity. All the clerks of the department, each in his sphere, performed a manly share of the heavy duties growing out of these extraordinary circumstances. The central department became a home of refuge for large numbers of poor, persecuted colored men, women, and children, many of whom were wounded and sick, and all of whom were helpless, exposed, and poor. Mr. John H. Kaiser, with his accustomed philanthropy, volunteered, and was appointed to superintend these wretched victims of violence and prejudice, and has devoted unwearied days to the duty. The pitiable condition of these poor people appeals in the strongest terms to the Christian charity of the benevolent and humane. The members of the force will do an acceptable service by calling the attention to their condition of those who are able and willing to contribute in charity to their relief. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.